evening, everybody. Grab your Bibles out, turn to Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40. We're going to read from verse 1. We're going to read down to verse 8 again. And then we'll open in a word of prayer. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again. Lord, we thank you for your word and the truths that it contains, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we are not alone in this world in the sense of that there are other people that have gone through the struggles that we go through as Christians too. And Lord, we're thankful that we're not alone, because we have a Savior that is with us and that is there to guide us and comfort us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the truths that we're going to read in this, in your word, in this passage tonight. And Lord, just guide us now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we can go further in Psalms 40 here, just go over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Just a thought just occurred to me just then. Isn't it a blessing that we have a God who is with us always? Christians, you have a God that is with you. He's not going to forsake you. You can't lose your salvation. You can't. The God that saved you is not going to turn you loose. He's got you. He's got you in his hand. There's a different verses that describe this. Now, he may not be happy with what you do. You may not be on his path and you might depart from it, but you can't lose your salvation. And when you are busy serving the Lord, he's with you. Matthew 28 verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, his disciples, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The Lord is with us. The Lord knows where we're at. He knows what we're doing. He knows that you guys are here tonight. There's nothing that we can do to hide ourselves from God. There's no place that we can run to get away from God. God is everywhere. God is, that's his omnipresence. It is a blessing to know that whenever we are in God's service, doing God, walking God's walk for our lives, that he's there going before us to take care of us. He is leading the way. Go back to Psalms chapter 40. We've been talking about this passage for a couple of weeks now, and it's been a blessing. Last week we talked about we were considering verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are usward. We considered God's memorials that he's left through the Bible for us to remember. We're talking about the little plaques. We're talking about piles of rocks. We're talking about different things that God said, remember this. And when you see this, remember this. Remember what happened because of something that God has done there at that time. God's marvelous, wonderful works. And now we talked about how we can't, if we tried to count them all, there's no way we could count what God's done for us. We'd run out of fingers and toes, and we'd have to use our ears, and we'd run out of ears and noses, and we'd run about everything trying to count up what God has done for us as Christians. As a baby Christian, you know, you might be a couple of hours old in the Lord, you'll run out. If you knew what God had done for you at that point, you would run out of fingers and toes to count on. God's wonderful, marvelous works. The week before that, we were talking about God's... We were really discussing, not just four-wheel driving, but we were discussing about the horrible pit, the valley of the shadow of death, the horrible pit. We discussed how David said he was in this pit, and we discussed how we, as Christians, find ourselves in this pit, a horrible pit. And we talked about that this pit can be one of two, or we're in this pit, sorry, for one of two reasons. Either we're in a pit because that is the way our pathway goes. Our service for the Lord sometimes goes through the valley of the shadow of death. But then sometimes we're in the pit and we're in that horrible clay because we got off the path. Right. Sometimes God's path goes through and often it goes round. But we don't want to follow God's way, and so we decide to go through by ourselves. And I've told you of some interesting four-wheel drive stories where I know I've decided I could get through that pit, and everyone else went around, and everyone else made it through, and then had to pull me out. You know, it's mud. It pits and mud. Anyway, tonight I want you to consider with me verse 1 here. David in the pit. Now, like we've also mentioned, we don't know what particular event David was referring to. He might have been referring to many. He might have been referring to one event in his life when he said, I was in a miry pit, in the horrible pit in the miry clay. So we don't exactly know which situation he was in. Was it one of the times that he departed from God's will for his life and he was bogged? He was stuck. Or maybe it was one of the times when, in his service for the King of Kings, he had to go through the valley of the shadow of death, like he says in Psalms 23. But for whatever reason, he's in this pit. And verse 1, and the first phrase of verse 1, David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, oftentimes when we're in a pit, we wait patiently out of necessity, in the sense of that we can't do anything else. David's in this pit, and he's tried everything else, but he's decided to wait patiently for the Lord. He waited patiently for the Lord. Go over to Psalms 23, 23rd Psalm. David finds himself in a pit. He's in this pit, he's stuck. Now, when you go into a pit by yourself, and you can't get out by yourself, you need someone to help you. So there's a time while that help is coming. Now, sometimes the help has to do something first. Okay, they have to prepare themselves or prepare the situation around. Sometimes they have to sort out the situation that you've gotten yourself into. They have to, in the case of four-wheel driving, they have to prepare their vehicle so they can then come and help you out. All right, now we know that God is almighty and all-powerful, but for whatever reason, sometimes he has to let you wait in the pit. You got yourself in there when you've walked out of God's will for your life. But sometimes we're down there and we just don't know why. We're in God's will. We're serving the Lord, and then the trials of life and the hardships of life mount up around us, and we don't know why we're going through this situation. And it feels like we're at a deadlock. We're not going forward, we're not going back. But we are trying to, as Christians, be consistent in our walk in following God and serving God. But it's just, what's happening here? And we get frustrated. You'll see that most pastors are missing hair for some reason. They've been, for some reason in their life, they've had to wait patiently. And that can tend to be hair pulling out moments. But David, in Psalms 23, talks about going through the valley of the shadow of death. We're going to read the whole psalm because this psalm is such a blessing. David, and as Christians in our walk for the Lord, this psalm describes God and his character to us. He describes, David is describing God as a shepherd. Now, we don't see shepherds in Australia like this sort of a picture of a shepherd is. Okay, a shepherd in Australia is a guy who's got about a million sheep, and you know, he doesn't know them by name, and he doesn't know much about them at all. He just knows sheep and to keep the dingoes away. That's all that, you know, well, there's probably other things if you're a shepherd out there listening to this. I know you do other stuff, okay? But the picture here is more of what we still see over in the Middle East, over in the Mediterranean areas and poorer areas where a person is responsible of a small group of sheep or a small group of goats, and there's more of a personal relationship that the shepherd actually has with the sheep. King David here, as he's writing, and possibly he's reflecting of back in the day when he was a shepherd, and he knew his sheep. He knew each one. He knew the one that he pulled out of the lion's mouth and the one that he took from the bear. He knows the sheep, and so he is able to relate how God is his shepherd. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord takes care of us. You know, his path for our life is a path that he will provide for us. Last week we talked about how God provided the manna for the Israelites in the wilderness. And we talked about how God told Aaron and Moses to put a pot of manna in the Ark of the Covenant. And that was there as a memorial to remind the Israelites of how God had taken care of their needs. They didn't die of starvation. They didn't die of starvation. They might have been sick of manna. How terrible is that when we get sick of God's blessings for us? And it happens, doesn't it? But God took care of their needs. God took care of their wants. The Lord is, I should say, their physical wants. In the sense of that, their body needed food. I'll better clarify that because that could probably get taken wrong. Okay, their body needed food, God provided for them. Okay, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. A shepherd's got to take his sheep to the right spot so that they can get food, water, safety. Sometimes to get there, they have to go through some pretty narrow and dangerous paths. It's what happens, you know. And if you ever get a chance, do one of those Google World search. What's it? Google Earth, that's the one. Go over to Israel on Google Earth and have a look at what that countryside is like. It is. We get these flashcards, and they have green rolling hills, and then they have like a, you know, it's not like that. It was, especially right now, there's so much desert and rocky outcrops, and you know they'll have this lovely green spot here, but to get to the next one or whatever, there's a cliff face. They got to take their sheep and cat. It is interesting. Go for a virtual tour through Israel if you can. But the way of the Christian sometimes is through the lush green pastures. But then sometimes it's through the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, in that valley, oftentimes you can't see the way out of a valley, can you? Because you're down so low, you can't see where the exit path is. So it's really easy to get discouraged when you're in a valley. You can't see the proper hilltops. So you ever been climbing up a mountain and you think you're coming to the top, but it's a false peak? You think you're nearly there, and you just get discouraged. This is so high, I can never get back up to where I... You know, in the case of a person who's gone into sin willfully and is willfully trying to get out of it by themselves, and you're trying and you're climbing, and you're like, you get to that false peak. And it's so discouraging that you just basically give up and fall back down to the bottom. But when for a Christian serving the Lord, it can still get discouraging. You know God is leading and guiding you, but you're in the valley of the shadow of death. things have been mounting up and hardships all around, and you just get discouraged. We do not need to be discouraged, Christian. Verse 4, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now the picture of the shepherd carrying the staff and carrying the rod, one is for discipline, but one is for direction and for help and comfort to the sheep. Protection. The two sticks were for two different, they look totally different. One was, a longer, more of a staff so that he can push and direct the sheep in which way to go. And the other one was when the sheep was not in little kids. Boom, boom, shk. The rod of correction. But with those, God, it is evident that God is with you and helping you when he is directing you. So fear no evil. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is good to us. The Lord takes care of us. But I want you just to notice verse 2 here. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now the word maketh there, now lying, maketh, has the sense of that this is, he required it of David. He had to make it, he had to stop him, had to make him lie down. Now, green pastures, it's a good place to be. We all like, we would like to stay on the high spots of Christianity and not have to go through the hardships. But there's times that we will have to go through those hardships. But right this time, David is describing being in the green pastures. But at that point, God said, you need to lie down. To lie down has the sense of stopping. Wait. Is it a good spot to step? Stay. Okay? Stay. God had to tell David to stop. But then God had to tell David to move. Now, the idea of the shepherd, he takes his sheep to a good spot for them to be at. Now, if he's not careful, the sheep will keep walking away. And they will go beyond and away from his direction and care for them. They may go down the wrong path. They may end up in that miry pit because they were following their own heads and wills and their own wants instead of following God's leading. Christian, we need to learn to wait patiently for the next time to move. Grandpa, what's that saying about the orders thing? No orders is...
Old orders are current orders until we get new orders.
Old orders are current orders until we get new orders. Does that make sense? If you're out doing something in the army and they tell you to do something, don't stop doing it until you get new orders to stop or to move. Why would you attack the enemy when the whole plan is not come into being yet? You don't know the full picture, but the commander does. And so he orders you to get prepared and stay here and be ready. But what happens if you jump the gun and went early? And the other guys that were going to be there to protect you from this flank and that flank, they're not in position yet. You don't know the full picture. You may be down in a valley somewhere and you can't see what's going on around. And you pop your head out over the top and the battle is lost because you ran in front of God. And the thing is that it doesn't just affect you. It affects those other guys too because you weren't in your position. You weren't where God needed you to be. We need to learn to wait patiently for the Lord. Pastor mentioned this morning's message, and we'll mention it at senior teens. So quickly turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Apostle Paul had to challenge Timothy, and he challenged him. He challenged him pretty hard, and he warned him that there's going to be hardness. There are going to be trials. There are going to be hard things that come up against us as Christians. Our pathway is not going to be roses and flowers and chocolates. There might be a small portion of that time when you get to eat chocolates, but That's not the whole pathway. Verse 1, chapter 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." If you look down in verse 9, you'll see it says, "Wherein I suffer trouble." Okay, those two words are the same. A situation that is not pleasant to be in. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier." If a soldier, when the going got tough, you know the whole saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going? But what happens if the tough guy got going the wrong way? When the going got tough, he took off and ran away. He wasn't able to endure the hardness of what's going on in life. You know, the trials that we go through, God promises, are not more than we can withstand as Christians. And He's there with us to withstand them. So if you decide to run away because the battle's too big for me, that's only your own doing. It's nothing to do with God. He's got the situation under control. You just weren't trusting Him. You weren't waiting for Him to work. You took off. You're a deserter. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." King David, his life. Now, I was thinking about this. King David's probably one of the most well spoke of, illustrated. We know so much about David. We know about him as a young man, as a shepherd, as a teenager, really. As a young man, we know him as King David. We know him as Old Man David. We know there's not many people in the Bible that's lifespan is accounted over two books and mentioned in multiple others throughout history. Most people have a chapter, maybe two, maybe three, or maybe are mentioned a couple. David is well documented. God tells us a lot about David. Consider David's life. Young man. He's probably younger than you guys sitting on the front here. He's probably in his 15, 16s. What's he doing? Is he playing matchbox cars?
No, shepherding sheep.
He's shepherding sheep. He's got responsibility. Which one of you guys is going to go up against a lion or a bear?
Isaac.
On the way down his throat, you'll stab him, won't you? That's it. You'll get him then. Yes, it. If you're going to take me, I'm going to take you with me. Yeah. David, a young man, yet he was willing, and already we see God working through his life. As a young man, he was anointed to be king. God had already seen him, already known that he was on the right path, and he was diligently following God's will for his life. Well, then what do? We see him as a musician in the king's palace. Again, he was one of the best musicians and of great skill, and God was using him so much that the king of the country, of the millions of people in that country, noticed and selected David to come and play before the king. God used him as a young man. Then what do we see? We see a giant killer. We see him go back home, and then see him under the authority of his dad, and then sent over to battle. To the battle to take his brother some food. And while he is there, he sees this guy called Goliath, and he says, "I can take him." I'm looking at Clem now. Clem, you reckon you could take down a guy that, what is he, about 3 meters tall? Just shy of 3 meters tall? Okay, so that's about 3'3", no, it's not 3'3". Yeah, that's about 3'3", hey, Will, that ceiling. Okay, so he's... somewhere, his head's rubbing on this roof somewhere here. Yeah?
No.
What are you going to take with you to go take him down? A gun? Lauren reckons you're going to take a gun. You're going to take something pretty big, aren't you? What's he take? He took some sticks and stones. He took a slingshot. What did he really take?
Lord.
He took the Lord with him. Now, David's life goes up and down. we see some downs. There's a lot of mountain peaks in his walk for the Lord, but then there's some hardships and valleys he goes through. He kills the giant. He becomes one of the king's armor bearers. He becomes one of the king's son-in-laws. Then he becomes the king's most wanted. He's already anointed to be the king of Israel. He's just waiting for the current king to die, basically. Just wait. And he was doing, waiting patiently for God's will to be revealed, God's will to be enacted. He was willing to be chased into caves. He had no permanent home. He was hounded. He didn't, you know, there's probably a night, for a long time, there probably wasn't a night that he got to sleep all the way through without having to wake up to check on something. To check that the king's the spies or what haven't come in close, to this king's soldiers weren't around there. There was a lot of hardship in David's life. He went from the king's right hand man to the king's most wanted, to fleeing for his life, banished from Israel. He ends up in the Philistines. The Philistines are suspicious about him, so he then has to pretend to be a madman. You go from king's right-hand man to drooling on the ground so that you can escape with your life. To being welcomed back into Israel, to becoming God's leader of Israel, to becoming the most famous king of Israel. One of the most successful men, a man after God's own heart. We see his life goes up, it goes down. He had some good times, he went through some hard times. His sons turned into murderers. There was family issues throughout. We could go on. There are so many different parts of his highlight. But the thing is, people, there are so much that we know of David, and those are really the highlights. We don't know what happened to him day by day. The discouragements that beset him each day, like beset up. We don't have the issue with worrying about some king is going to kill us because we've been appointed to be king. We don't have that issue to worry about. But there are things that we have to worry about too. You know, David had the same fleshly struggles that we have. And because of those fleshly struggles, he fell into some pits that we've fallen into, or we attempted to fall into too. David, there are times when he should have been waiting on God, and he decided to go run and do something else. What was David doing on the housetop watching Bathsheba? He shouldn't have been up there. If he'd noticed something wrong going on over there, he should have just got on his 2 feet and run out of the way. No, he decided to stay there and to fall into sin. Willfully. So David, there are ups and downs, and there are times that we forget things that we already know, but it's just a blessing to read in Psalms 40 that David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He learnt to wait patiently for God. He learnt to wait on the Lord for the Lord's leading. He was in that pit. And he was stuck there. Did he try to get out himself? Most likely. Were there claw marks up and down that pit where he had been scrabbling to go up and down? That could have happened. We've tried to do that when we got out. Who likes to tell Dad that you'd broke something of his? No one likes to do that, do you? No one likes to own up that you broke something. So what do? You try everything you can do to fix it. So you don't have to own up for the mistake that you made. You want to get out of the mud and back onto the path. You know, you don't want anyone to see your four-wheel drive bogged in the hole. You want them to see it on the other side. So we try whatever we do to get out of the mistakes that we've made. You know what? When you're bogged in a hole and you try to get out by yourself and you haven't got the right recovery gear, what happens in that hole and you can't get out? You generally make more mud and make it worse. You know, if most people that four-wheel driving, they got stuck, stopped, and did nothing else and just called help, it would be the easiest recovery. But what do? We have a right foot, and we go, and it's like mud goes everywhere, and the car just sinks straight down in the mud. You don't go anywhere. You make it worse. Before you were stuck on like a centimeter of mud. Now you're bogged up to the axles, and it's going to take... I've seen some video clips of excavators and trucks pulling cars out of the mud. First thing, I mean, admittedly, they shouldn't have gone there to start with. But we make so much worse for ourselves. But here we see David crying out to God. He's waiting at the bottom of the pit, but waiting on a God that can pull him out. Waiting. Don't make matters worse. If you've made a mistake, get right with God. If you're in trouble because you got yourself there, just go back to the Lord. He'll pull you out. He'll set your feet upon a rock, a firm foundation. He'll establish your goings. Don't make things worse. You put yourself in the mess to start with. If you got yourself in there, your ego isn't going to get you out. But a God can. The God of the Bible can. How often do we go to other different things? Well, I've spent my time trying to pull myself out of bogs, with my car, with winches and things that were not adequate. And you waste so much time. I had this little $50 come along thing. If you guys know what a come along is, basically just a little hand winch. All right? It was basically meant for pulling quad bikes out of mud. So I'm trying to pull my four-wheel drive out with it. You know how long that thing lasted? Not long at all. I needed some real help. But I spent hours trying to pull myself out by my own means. It doesn't work. We need to wait on the Lord. We got ourselves into the pit. Need to surrender it back to the Lord and say, okay, I've done the wrong, Lord. I'm here. It's my mistake. I'm going to wait patiently for you to take care of this. Go over to Isaiah chapter 40. I don't read Isaiah enough. I don't read the Old Testament prophets enough. But man, they have some godly insight. This whole chapter in Isaiah really talks about and describes to Israel who their God is and what he's able and capable of doing. We're going to read from verse 25. David is in this pit of tribulation, but he calls out to God for help, who answers him. The pit was impossible to get through. But now God strengthens him. All right. Let's read down from verse 25. Now, bearing in mind, we're talking now more so of when you have to go through a hardship in your path, in your service for the Lord. Okay? And you don't know how you're going to get through. You're willing, you're wanting, you want to serve the Lord, you want to do, and his path is leading you through impossibles. You don't know how you're going to get through this. Verse 25, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Sometimes when you're on a four-wheel drive track, you come up against a solid wall, and you don't know how you're going to get over it. And you know, through a bit of winching, a bit of track building or whatever, there are ways that you can get over it. You know, as Christians, we come up to something, we don't know how this is going to work. You ever been to in a place in your Christian walk and you're serving the Lord and you've gotten down to your last dollars? You don't know how it's going to happen after that. I remember sometimes over in Papua New Guinea, we're building the Bible college building and the church building over there. And we built that by faith. And there were days that we didn't know where the money was coming for the guttering. And we were up to that stage, you know, for the cement floor. We didn't know where all the money was coming for that. You know, cement doesn't grow on trees. Gutters don't grow on trees. You couldn't just go pick it. The next day, the money was in the bank account for the missions fund. Praise the Lord. We didn't know how it was going to happen. And it was the right amount and all more. You know, Dave didn't often have times, and I don't think he ever really tried to send out an email to the supporting churches to ask for help. He would often send out emails to say, you know, this is what's happening, please pray for it. And then the Lord would burden people's hearts that we didn't have a clue who they were. And that would send money. And the work was continued. And praise the Lord for it. There are times that, we could go on forever. This church has been here for 28-something years, 29 years. That's like now, isn't it? This is like anniversary month, something like that. Yeah, right. We haven't had a building for all those years. And we didn't go into debt to get a building either. You know, this place you're sitting, these chairs. You know these chairs you're sitting on? You know Brother Floyd made them? But for another church. So another church, and a lot of people probably got saved on those seats that you're sitting on. And then when they were done with them, we bought them, and they got sent up here. And that was just a blessing to hear that. You know, Brother Floyd wasn't out to get praise or glory for his own name, but we just heard the story. I think it was Jason mentioned it or something like that, and then we're like, what? You know, he gave some money and gave some time for someone else, and we're receiving the blessings from it now. You know, the Lord is good. The Lord takes care of us. The Lord leads us on a path, but you have to be willing to be led. You know, God is not restricted. We feel so restricted. I wish I knew more about how to be a carpenter, how to be a builder. There are other people they know so much more about. I wish I knew what they knew. You know, God doesn't have to worry. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. There is no situation that he is not in control of. There is no path for your life that he cannot lead you down if you're willing to follow him on it. Verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Why do people say that God don't care about us or care about them? Why would God care about me? I'm just a little person. You know, he does. He knows your way. He knows where you're at right now. He knows if you're putting on a front and pretending to be happy and where really you're struggling with something. He knows if you're struggling with some consequences that you have put yourself into by your own doings. He knows your judgment. He knows what's going on. He knows, and he can help you with it. There might still be a bit more of, it might be a bit of an effort to get you out of that miry pit, but his arm is strong enough to pull you out. I think like we said a couple of weeks ago, you don't get a Suzuki Swift to pull out a Land Cruiser out of a bog. But you do get a Land Cruiser or a tow truck or something that's bigger. Why do we always try and get Suzuki Swifts? Why do we get something small that is incapable? Why do we go to our religious... We go to different religions. We go to philosophies. We go to anything but God. And yet he is the way. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Look in verse 27 with me here. No, we did that one, sorry. Look in verse 30. I think I've skipped one. Verse 29. He gives power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increases strength. We've talked about that. He strengthens those that trust and follow him through tribulations and hardships when they learn to wait on the Lord. Read with me verse 30. Verse 29, and we'll read down. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. Now, I know I'm not that old, but I know you got some of you people, probably some of you older people too than me, but man, you could beat me up a mountain. I know it. Okay, I'm out of condition, I'm fat. I do not have hiking abilities. Back when I was your age, back in my day, I'd give you a run for your money going up a mountain. But I haven't got that strength anymore. I've lost it. If you can't see on the camera, it ended up here. You know, even you young guys, Will, even you're going to faint sometimes. Even when your strength is gone, God can then step in and take care. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fail. Sorry, guys. It's going to happen. You're going to become like fat old people. All right. But, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Bearing in mind that they are in the service for the Lord here. They are doing these things, they are walking, they are running, they are serving the Lord. If you go chasing off, you can't claim that verse and be living in sin. That's not going to be, God's not going to strengthen you. God's not going to strengthen you spiritually while you're ignoring and running away from him. But if you get your life right with the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You ever stop to look at an eagle? Have you? They're pretty cool, aren't they? Now, we've got some eagles in Australia. I think what I was reading. Oh, they're big. The big wedge tail. The sea eagle isn't as big, but it's still pretty majestic looking. I think we've got a smaller one too. I can't remember what it's called. A lot of eagles are from Middle East and Asia. And then America has quite a few different ones too. Now, Africa too. Yeah, that's probably right. Like the certain types over different countries have certain different types of eagles. But one of the people that was I was reading, they put a quote, and like this is obviously not 100% accurate, but it's just something that they noticed in their study about eagles. Eagles are generally the biggest. One of the biggest birds are eagles. They're a raptor. They're a predatory bird. Okay, so and their eyesight is amazing, and their flying ability is amazing. They soar to the highest of altitudes, and yet they can see down on the ground. You know, have you ever stood with your arms out like this? Have you ever done that? You know, you can generally only last a couple minutes. Okay, before your muscles in your arms get so weak that you just got to put them down. It's a good competition to see which is the strongest guy. We might do that later. But, you know, an eagle is soaring up there kilometers above the earth with their wings outstretched, the strength that they have in their wings. And they're just catching the currents and gliding around, you know, doing what they do. Their muscles that keep them going. You know, what these guys said about an eagle, because they are a raptor and a predatory bird, but because they're generally one of the biggest. When they come to, and biggest in the sense of that, it's been documented that they've, an eagle takes down like a small donkey and different things. You know, like that's a pretty big animal for an eagle to take down. Anyway, but what they said about these eagles was they tend to not look back over their shoulder. You know why? Because there's nothing else that's going to take them down. They don't have to be worried about someone else coming in to snatch their prey. Smaller raptors, hawks and that, they are watching out because there's an eagle out there to take their food away from them. An eagle doesn't really have to worry about that. You know, as Christians, we don't have to worry because we've got a God behind us, taking care of us. His strength, He's looking after us. You know, if we're serving Him, He's got our back. There's a verse, I forgot to write it down, that says that God, we know God leads the way, but then there's a verse that talks about how God comes behind us for protection too. You know, He's there to protect us in front, to lead us, but He's also there to protect us from the enemy coming in behind. We don't have to be worrying, we don't have to be fearful, because we can trust in an everlasting, eternal, all-powerful God. They that wait upon the Lord. Did you see that though? You want to have the strength of an eagle? You want to have God's enabling? You want to be in God's will? You need to learn to wait. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Being patient. Willing. Patient. Probably something I should have mentioned at the beginning of this lesson, but patient has the idea of, when you look it up in the Webster's Dictionary, means to calmly, with composure. You're waiting without discontent or murmuring in agitation. Have you ever heard the husband in the car beeping the horn at the wife to hurry up? I'm waiting. But he's not patiently waiting. That's what Psalmist David said. Did you see that? I waited patiently. I went patiently. I wasn't yelling and screaming, hurry up, get me out of here. It was quietly, calmly, waiting on the Lord's will for my life, for His life. Patiently waiting. Waiting quietly physically and spiritually. Waiting on the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. You know why He doesn't require that? Because He wants us. He wants us as a living sacrifice. That's what Romans 12 verse 1 tells us. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. All right, let's pray, and then we'll get Will to come up and lead us in a song. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you. Lord, I pray that this has been an encouragement and help to someone tonight. Lord, I pray, I know it was for me. I know, Lord, the more I get to study your word and the more I put an effort into learning what your will is for my life, Lord, the more I learn who you are and the more is an encouragement to me, Lord. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you are a God that loves us and loves me. And Lord, that you are patient with us, Lord. And Lord, you're long-suffering with us too. And Lord, that even though when we've rejected you and turned away from you, you are willing for us to come back. And Lord, you're willing to forgive us, Lord, though we don't deserve forgiveness. And Lord, you are willing to save us, though we don't deserve salvation. Lord, I just pray that you will continue to work and teach us, Lord. Mold our hearts. Put us, Lord, in the crucible or whatever it's called, the smelter's pot, Lord. Get rid of the rubbish that we have in our lives. Refine us, Lord, I pray. Help us, Lord, to be vessels of use, vessels of worth instead of vessels of dishonor. Fit for your service, Lord, I pray. Bless this time. Thank you for those that could come here tonight, Lord, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.